Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization that is dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible to everyone. Alhamdulillah, Qalam has been able to serve so many people all across the world in so many ways. And now, Qalam has the opportunity and the ability to take its work to the next level. Qalam now has the ability to expand its offerings to people all across the world in so many different ways. Qalam is acquiring a campus, a home, where we can continue to do the work that we do and in fact increase what we do. But we need your help, we need your support to make that dream a reality. Go to QalamCampus.com and donate generously. Every single person listening to this podcast, benefiting from Qalam, I need you to go there and donate and share that link far and wide. And let's all of us come together, invest into our sadaqah jariyah, and take this work to the next level. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Now enjoy the podcast.
وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في كتابه المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم وبعد. One of the practices that we have as human beings is to observe and to look at the successful people from within our society. The gift of the biography is something that gives us so much insight and so much information into how successful people attained their level of success, their station of accomplishment. Whether you look at it from an athletic perspective and you study the greats in their specific sport, or you look at it from a business perspective and you see what made these CEOs and these inventors so remarkable, or a political perspective, everybody has stories and anecdotes about what made individuals successful. And it's no different when it comes to our religious tradition, that part of the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is not only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah ta'ala in the Quran tells us what? That he is uswatun hasana, that he is a beautiful and a perfect example for us to follow. But along with that perfect example, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a unique spiritual state with Allah. And sometimes when a human being, when an average person like you or I, when we look at somebody who has been chosen as a messenger of Allah, the connection is there, the love is there, the reverence is there, but you need to have other individuals that sometimes share a more fallible and human state. That maybe they have the same emotions that you're feeling, just like the Prophet ﷺ taught them. That's why you have amazing people known as companions. These people who surrounded the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. That Allah Ta'ala could have made it be that he would have just sent the Messenger of Allah ﷺ to teach everybody about Islam, to reveal the Qur'an through him, to give them the sunnah, and that would be it. But the function of surrounding the Prophet ﷺ with individuals, with people, from all walks of life, from all types of personalities, from the calmness and meekness of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu an, to the strength and determination and sheer will of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, to the intelligence and the understanding of the Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an, to the dedication and loyalty of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an. You have all kinds of personalities that Allah Ta'ala gifted the Ummah with as role models for every kind of person on this earth. But the one in particular, and we'll take this from the words of Ali radiallahu an himself, the one in particular that was understood and known to be the top individual in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, was when Ali radiallahu an, he said, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ بَعْضَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that the best individual of all people after the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr, was the individual known as Abu Bakr. when you look at his life and you see the inspirational moments, the things that he did, how he was able to dedicate his entire life to the Prophet ﷺ, it makes you wonder genuinely, what was it about this man that made him so special? There are books and books that have been written about his qualities. But today in the khutbah, I just wanted to share four things that made Abu Bakr special, of the many. Four that made him a special person. Number one was his sincerity. What does it mean to be sincere? What does it mean to have ikhlas? Sheikh Sha'rawi, a very famous scholar from Egypt, rahimahullah, who passed away in the 1990s, roughly 1990s, he had a very humorous story about what sincerity meant. He said, sincerity is when people come over to your house for dinner and you cook the meal. And they compliment your wife and your kids and your family for the delicious meal, and you're sitting there frustrated that you're not getting any of those compliments. And he said, sincerity is when people come in and say, oh, this meal is so delicious, and they thank everybody around you, even though you're the one who cooked it, and your heart still feels at ease. You have no concern, no care. You're sincere because your goal was what? Your goal was to feed your guest and follow the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You had nothing in it for yourself. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's described in a narration where he talks about this level of sincerity in Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, that he was not a person that sought any sort of a benefit or praise in his life. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that when I received revelation, when I was given the message of Islam, I went to every single person and I talked to them about this message. I told them about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to me. And he said that every individual that I spoke to, without exception, had some level of hesitation. Everybody. Whether it was that they needed a few months or weeks or maybe days or hours to think about it. There were some companions who accepted the Prophet ﷺ after a few moments, some who accepted him after a few weeks, months, years even, in the case of Amr ibn al-As, Khalid ibn al-Walid, and others. It took them years, even decades, to accept the Prophet ﷺ. He said there was only one individual who, when I came to him and explained to him what happened on that day in Ghari Hira, there's only one person who accepted me immediately, and that was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Without question, his ability to understand and to not ask in any moment about his own thought, his own value, his own benefit, but to look into the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ, to hear what he's saying and say, I accept you as the messenger of Allah. This sincerity allowed him to achieve these great stories that we hear about. It's all built on this foundation. If you hear the stories of the companions and you wonder, how is it that they were able to give so much money? How is it that they were able to pray so much at night? How is it that they were able to sacrifice so much? It all starts with a sincere heart. If the heart is full of sincerity, the actions that we see as difficult become very easy. But if the heart doesn't have ikhlas, then even the most simple of actions become difficult. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu an, everything, subhanAllah, that we see as miraculous, what he did, for him, he didn't even see it as enough because his heart was so overflowing with sincere love for Allah and His Messenger. The story that indicates this was during the Hijrah. The story that I've chosen that indicates this was during the Hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Muslims were leaving and evacuating from Mecca, which was very difficult. It was a very difficult time. And when they were going from Mecca to Medina, and the Prophet ﷺ, he was traveling, and he chose Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu to come with him. And that was a very powerful, emotional moment for Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The story that is narrated is that when the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr were traveling, they had to venture into a cave at the top of this mountain known as Jabal Thawr. They had to go into this tiny little carved out cave. We've actually been there. If you go for Umrah, a lot of times the ziyarah tours that you take, they'll take you to this cave, this mountain, they'll show you. It's very high up, very steep climb. And as the Prophet ﷺ was resting, and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was resting, taking reprieve from the people that were chasing them, the Prophet ﷺ was exhausted and needed to relax and rest. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq indicated to him to put his head onto his lap, to rest his head so that he could take a nap. The Prophet ﷺ shortly thereafter was awoken, not by people who were chasing, not by any danger, but was awoken by a water that was dripping onto his face. When he looked up, he saw that the water was not water, but they were tears coming from the eyes, rolling down the cheeks of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq onto the face of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ, he sits up and he says, "Ya Abu Bakr, what's going on? Are you okay?" And Abu Bakr quietly indicates to a scorpion that has latched its stingers on to the leg of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and is injecting its venom painfully into his leg. The Prophet ﷺ, shocked at what's happening, says, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you wake me up? No one should have to go through this. You're being stung by a scorpion. It's poisonous. It's potentially fatal. Why are you doing this?" Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says, "Ya Rasulullah, I didn't want to disturb your rest. I didn't want to disturb. You need this rest so much. This is such a trial that we're going through, so much difficulty. You must be so exhausted having to deal with this. Ya Rasulullah, I did not want to disturb your rest." The level of dedication to the Prophet ﷺ. And just like we talk about with the students here at the seminary, when you read these stories, the only thing that you can do is compare yourself, not in those moments, because that's a lot to ask, but in moments that we live that are maybe a lot less than that. That Abu Bakr was able to maintain some level of discomfort, a very great level of discomfort, out of the pleasure of the Prophet ﷺ. What kind of discomfort do we willingly take on for the Messenger of Allah? We talk to young people all the time about this, but this is an age-old issue about performing salah, for example, in public. Maybe you're at school, at work, maybe you're in public, maybe you're at the mall, wherever you might be, and it's time for prayer. And the thought comes into the mind, "I want to pray, but I don't know where I'm going to pray." And we start to create concession after concession. You guys call Mufti Kamani. "Is it okay if I delay? Is it okay if I pray sitting down? Is it okay if I pray?" This level of social discomfort. "I don't know if I want to pray in public. I don't want them to see my feet in the sink. I don't want them..." Imagine the discomfort that we feel and measure it up against having the stinger of a scorpion dug into your thigh. And how challenging that must have been. And now compare your challenge to his. Radiallahu anhu. So his love for the Messenger was so great, and so it was demonstrated so frequently, so often. Another powerful story of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq that I think is worth understanding and really modeling was that he himself was beloved to everybody. There's a narration about a man from Quraysh whose name was Ibn Daghina. And Ibn Daghina, he had a very contentious relationship with the Muslims. He was, by his own admission, an enemy of Islam. He did not like the Prophet ﷺ. He did not like the message of Islam. He was kind of a more mild enemy. He wasn't like the ranks of Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab, etc. But he was an enemy of the Muslims in a milder way. So one day, after very difficult days for the Muslims in Mecca, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, one day he decides to pack up his things and leave. He's frustrated. Nowhere else to go. Putting your head on your pillow at night to sleep, not sure if you're going to wake up being assaulted, your home broken into, your family being abused. This was the state of the Muslims in Mecca. Unsure of their own safety. Forget going home and locking your doors, that wasn't enough. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, one day he gets exhausted of this, tired of this, and he decides, "I'm going to pack my things and I'm going to leave." He crosses paths with this Ibn Daghina. Ibn Daghina says to him, "Ila ayna anta ya Abu Bakr? Where are you going?" Abu Bakr as-Siddiq looks at him and he says to him, "Akhrajni qawmi." He says, "My people have expelled me. Dayiqni qawmi. My people have constricted me. I can't even live here." Can you imagine? Born and raised, a Meccan, 40 years, 50 years, living in this city, not feeling welcome, being kicked out from a well-respected position. And he says, "These people have made it impossible to live here. I'm leaving." Ibn Daghina looks at him with shock in his eyes and he says to him, إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ, you are a man, لَمْ يَخْرُجْ وَلَمْ يُخْرَجْ, you should not leave, nor should you be made to leave. Like, we shouldn't allow you to go, and no one should make you feel like you have to go. And he tells him, why? إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ, that you are a person that keeps the ties, وَتُخْرِئُ الضَّيْفُ, and you honor the guest, وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you always stand up for the just cause, وَتَكْسِبِ الْمَعْدُومِ. He narrates exactly the same thing that Khadija radiallahu anha said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was how close they were, like twins in their character. Obviously the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, greater, the teacher, the mentor, but Abu Bakr right there behind him and copying. So Ibn Daghina tells him, a person who is an enemy, you're not leaving. Come back with me. I want you to imagine that one day you leave Dallas and you bump into Greg Abbott. And he says, no, you have to come back. You Muslims can't leave. And you say, why? And they tell you, because Muslims make our city better. Muslims make the place better. Wherever Muslims go, there is a quality of life increase. People want to be there. That's what he was saying to Abu Bakr. If you leave, it's a loss for Mecca. So he takes Abu Bakr back into Mecca. And he goes to the Mount of Safa, where the announcements were made. And he says, I have an announcement to make on behalf of me and my tribe. This is a man who is now under my protection. If anybody touches him, they have to go through me first. And again, this is a person who had nothing but enmity at that time in his heart for Islam and Muslims, but he would not let Abu Bakr go. Ask yourself, brothers and sisters, when you walk into a building, when you walk into a room, are you celebrated? Do people get excited when you come in? I once had a waiter tell me at a restaurant, a Muslim waiter, he came up to me and he said, the next khutbah, I have a topic that I need you to talk about. I said, what topic? He said, tipping. Tipping. I said, for an entire khutbah? That seems like a lot to talk about for an entire khutbah. Not enough to talk about. He said, I work at a restaurant where when they see a Muslim walk in, all the waiters, all the waitresses, they hide in the bathrooms. Because they don't want to serve a people that they know they're not going to be tipped like they would with other people. And we laugh because we think it's humorous, and it is, but isn't that depressing? Isn't it embarrassing? Imagine being the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most generous man who ever lived, saying, Ya Rasulullah, your legacy of generosity was harmed because we didn't want to give 10%, 15%, 20% of a bill after a person ran back and forth from a kitchen refilling your drink, cleaning up after your kids, making sure that there was no pork or alcohol in your dish, and you leave them to make nothing. This is the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When that brother told me that, this was 10 years ago by the way, I told him that I'm not going to give an entire khutbah on this, but I'll mention it whenever I can. Think of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Think of how he was respected and loved by everybody that came into contact with him. And remember his greatness. Radiallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him. The last thing that we'll talk about with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu is his generosity. The generosity that he displayed was something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that no one's wealth ever benefited me more than the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. No one's wealth. Now this is interesting, because we know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu may not have given the most. We know that in terms of his wealth, there were other companions, Abdurrahman bin Auf, Uthman bin Affan, who were wealthier than him. So what is this showing us? The Prophet ﷺ is saying that no one's money benefited me or Islam more than that man's money, Abu Bakr. Although he did not give the most, his money was the most beneficial. What does that teach us? Islam is about quality, not quantity. It's not about how much you give, it's about who's giving it. The heart behind the hand that is writing the check is more valuable than the amount of zeros that are on that check. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu tells a story when the Prophet ﷺ was collecting charity and investment and support. And Omar shows up one day and he thinks for absolutely for sure, this is the day that I'm going to show myself that I am all in. And he goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he presents his wealth, and the Prophet ﷺ says, "Ya Omar, what is this?" And Omar says, "Ya Rasulullah, this is half of my wealth. Half. Let's quickly pause. Take half of your wealth, guys. Not what's in your bank account. Half of your assets. Liquidate them. Sell your car, sell your house, sell everything. Make it cash. Take out all your crypto if you have it. Cut it in half. And write that check to Carol Tamesh, inshallah." Right? How painful is that thought? Half of your wealth? Sadaqah. How difficult is it to process? Omar shows up, he says, "On the day of Tabuk, we were commanded to give. I gave half, and I thought no one would beat me that day." Here comes Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, quietly, humbly, the way that he was. And he presents his wealth to the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Ya Abu Bakr, what is this?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, this is all of my wealth. This is all of it." The Prophet ﷺ says, "What have you left behind? If you're giving me everything, what's going to be left behind for you and your family?" And he says, "Ya Rasulullah, I left them Allah and His Messenger. I left them Allah and I left them His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Now this isn't for everybody. Abu Bakr was a special person. There were other companions who tried to do the same thing, and the Prophet ﷺ told him, "Don't do that. Your family, you need to leave some behind." Abu Bakr was a different kind of person though. As they say, he was built different. Him, his family, they were all in and they could handle that. That generosity was unmatched. He may have not given the most in terms of dollar amount, but when he gave, he was all in. No questions, no transactions, no plaques. Didn't even care about the receipt, even though that may have been his right. "I'm doing this for Allah." That ikhlas was immutable. Something that took over everything. His sincerity was untouched. And that's why on the day of Isra al-Mi'raj, when the Prophet ﷺ came back to Mecca, one of the hardest days of his life, one of the hardest challenges, sitting in front of a crowd of people, telling them the story, everyone's laughing, they're mocking him, they're joking at him. They're saying, "Yeah, keep going. Oh, you went to Jerusalem in one night? Keep going." Everyone's joking around, laughing at him. And every time he finishes a sentence about his story, who's sitting there in the front row saying, "Sadaqta ya Rasulullah"? Who's the one that's telling the Prophet ﷺ, "You're being truthful"? In a crowd of hundreds laughing at him, the Prophet ﷺ hears one voice in the middle of the crowd saying, "You're being truthful. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you." At the end of the story, when everyone else doesn't believe and one man is in the middle saying, "Sadaqta ya Rasulullah," he says, "Anta Siddiq. You are the truthful one. You said you believe and you proved it." This is the legacy of Abu Bakr, As-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him. What made him so great was maybe something that we cannot do ourselves in our lives, but we sure can copy it as close as we can. His loyalty, his sincerity, his belovedness, his generosity, his dedication to his faith were things that should inspire everybody. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us among those who prove that sidq. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that level of loyalty to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that generosity to the community. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us those who are dedicated to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and that we love Allah and His Messenger more than we even love ourselves. Ameen, ameen, ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallah, bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept from us. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. We ask Allah Ta'ala to cure those who are ill. We ask Allah Ta'ala to bless those who are going through difficulties and struggles. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to forgive those who have passed away. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala by His might, by His mercy, by His generosity, by His grace, to uplift the oppression that Muslims and humanity is experiencing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our loved ones from the sicknesses and illnesses that roll through society, that are riddling through people. Oh Allah, please protect everybody. Grant everyone success. Put barakah and blessing in their wealth and in their health. Ameen, ameen, ya rabbil alameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala al-Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alameen. Innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقيموا الصلاة